I'm just listening. So,
don't fall down.
Hey, that's okay. I'm talking about Grandparents Day and that song she sang. I was just earlier, I was in the back talking to a couple of buddies of mine I grew up with, and one of them mentioned about his granddaughter. I think granddaughter, right? It keeps him in line. I was sitting there thinking, there was a time that me and my friends, we never thought we'd live that long. And it's a miracle, most likely, that we're here today. And so, but you know, I just had a, you know, last month had a birthday, and me and my friends were around. I've always been a little younger than them, but anyway. So I just turned 50. So they're in their 50s, you know. And I said one time, it's, I bet some of y'all don't even remember being 50, or wish you were 50. But then there's some of y'all thinking we're old. So, you know, we got a good crowd here. Hey, you know, I'm glad everybody's laughing and feeling good, having a good time. And that's good. We need to and stuff. You know, we get hung up on, and this has been laid on my heart for months now, and almost all the sermons that I come up with is about your faith in Jesus Christ. Okay? Religion gets us in trouble. You know, and so, and you missed a point and stuff. So religion, and I don't want to talk just bad about religion, you know, and so you got structure on things, you know, that's okay. But don't miss the point of being a Christian, just being a Christian. And Jesus Christ died on that cross for everybody. I don't care who you are, what you are, what you've done, who you've done, what you think you're going to do. And so Jesus Christ did it for every one of us. By His grace, by God's grace, it's because nobody in this whole world or in here deserves what God has provided for us. Nobody. So let's don't get hung up on, well, you know, I'm a preacher, so I'm up now. It don't matter what you are or what you're doing. It's all focuses on Jesus Christ and the cross. We had a men's breakfast yesterday. We had a pretty good turnout. Good food, like always, ate too much. And I just attended this example because how God works and stuff. I had this devotional let out, and we didn't touch nothing that I thought we was going to touch. And I opened up with the statement. I forgot what it was exactly now. And then the people ran with it, and which is good. It's great. So what I'm trying to tell you is, I don't know what you're going to get today. For a sermon. But I know it's going to be from God. I do know that, what He laid on me. So I kind of took, you know, I do prepare, you know, do my job, kind of get prepped up. And a lot of times, you know, words come out of my mouth, it's not scripted. But anyway, we're going to combine two things that we talked about before. And so obligation and faith. And you're saying, what in the world do they got to do with each other? Well, let's find out. We're going to find out today. And so if you want a scripture to turn to, turn to James chapter 2. We're going to read verses 21 through 26, and we're going to base it off of that. I got a friend of mine, a good friend of mine. He likes James. He calls it the meddling book. Or wear your steel-toe boots today book. And stuff, because James will step on your toes a little bit and stuff. And, you know, we all need that time to time. We all need to get refocused, you know, on God and get things right. So if you're there, James 2, 21 through 26, it's a little bit of reading, but we're going to read it. And it starts out with a question. Was our father Abraham not considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? That's the first question. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. I stopped and put emphasis on that. That kind of means, I didn't pay attention to school. I told you all that, right? I don't know how I even got through it. I don't even remember getting through it. But I kind of learned, you know, a little bit. When I put emphasis on something, we're going to go back and hit that point. So let me read that again. You see that his faith and his actions were working together. And his faith was made complete by what he did. Okay? And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see that a person is considered righteous by what they do and not by faith alone. We're going to kind of break that down here in a minute. In the same way, was not even Rahab, the prostitute, considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies and sent them off in a different direction? As the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for these words, and just open our minds and hearts to what you have us received from them. Just thank you for everything you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So I kind of hit some high points there, and so at how things work together. And so you can believe in God, okay? And it's not going to do any good in itself. Which, follow me here a minute. Satan believes in God. He knows there's a God, but he has no faith. And so the first thing I'm going to throw out there to you is, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's a step. That's the first start. You know, that's the first step. You need to accept him as your Lord and Savior. Let anything else work out. Don't get yourself, you know, don't prepare yourself. Well, I do it when I clean myself up, or when I do this, or when I get done doing what I want to do, and then I do this. Because you'll never get there. It would never happen. If you put the you in it and the I in it, you're already messing up. And so it's not going to work. So you've got to have some of that faith comes in and just give it to God and then let him work through you in order to clean you up the way you want to be. Because you can't do it. And I can't do it. There's no way. Just think of things you've done in your life over the years that didn't turn out so well, that you thought you could do well. And I'll do this, I'll do that, you know, whatever. And it was a disaster or whatever happened. So we need to focus on Jesus, not yourself, and let him work through you. And I talked about obligation and faith. And so what's obligation mean? That's a big word for doing something. You know, how many times I say, you know, get off the bench and do something. You know, it don't have to be nothing extravagant. You know, you don't have to. You know, you don't have to say, oh, I accept Jesus Christ, I'm going to fly to Africa and do a missionary trip. Probably not. Probably need a little bit, you know, you probably need to work on your faith a little bit there. So what I'm saying is, don't think that it's not complicated. It's not hard to do God's work. I know I use OC, for example, a lot on stuff. He got a little group text going a while back with a group of guys. Just simple words of encouragement. He throws out a little scripture. Just the simple things go a long way. A long way. Picking up a phone and calling a friend that's down on their luck or needs help. How many of y'all are like, well, I can tell them myself for saying it that way. How many of y'all drive by somebody with a flat tire and say, well, they got a cell phone, they got it. You know, and in your mind you're thinking, well, I don't want to get knocked in the head. I don't want to get run over. I don't want to get sweaty. You know, it's okay to help people. You know, sometimes we need to. That's what we're here for. That's, you know, we're here, well, number one, do God's work. But then we need to, you know, need to be here for each other, our community. It all starts right here. I say that all the time. Walk out these doors and you start witnessing somebody. Just right out these front doors, or side doors, whatever you want to call them. And witnessing, like I said, I can't put the emphasis, I can't find the right words. That's why I keep reiterating it. And so if it's not, it don't have to be something extravagant. It don't have to be something big. Just witnessing can be simply, like I said, just, hey, how you doing today, Charlie? You doing okay? Just you know, engage. That's a word, engage with people. Find out. The closer you get to somebody, the more you know who they are, about them, what they got going on. Same thing works with Jesus too. The closer you get to him, the more he's gonna reveal to you on things you need to do. Obligation, Jesus' obligation is summarized by a concept of love, obedience, and service. We're going to talk about those three things. Then in an hour or so, we go to the next part. No, I'm just joking. I can't talk that long. I'm already dry mouth. I've got a bottle of water up here. But obligation, okay, let's start. You know, we're kind of doing some basic stuff here. And stuff. So what's the obligation to who? Number one, to God. Now let's get it right first. Let's go to the source, so to speak. Let's get it right with God. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind." Heart, soul, and mind. Don't you like to play a little Texas Hold'em? When you got a good hand, all in. I'm all in. That sums that up. Heart, soul, and mind. All in. Everything you do, heart, soul, and mind, is God-focused, Jesus-focused on what he wants you to do. Now, I told y'all last week, I want to see how many of y'all listened that were here. And so don't show your hands, just think about it. So how many of y'all woke up this morning and the first thing you did is talk to God, pray to God, or read a scripture, or did something and see what he wanted you to do today? How many of y'all did that? Or are you doing that? Another question is, put it this way, why ain't you doing that? I know ain't a good word. I don't speak good English. I speak a little bit of redneck, but that's about it. What are you? You won't be all in with God. You got to be all in. You got to make your mind up. And we talk about this all the time. It's a choice. You got to make a choice. What you're going to do? You either are or you're not. I mean, that's just simply the way it is. You either are or you're not. And you got to go all in. Obedience to God's word. So you're going to be all in to God. You got to have that loving heart, soul, mind. You give it all in, love. And then you got to be obedient to his word. Now that's where it gets kind of complicated. Not complicated, but when it gets hard for us, we got to make a decision. Or you're going to do, you get in God's word, let me tell you what he's going to do. You think I'm up here just because I want to be? I can tell you that right now. I'd use myself for an example because I ain't going to talk about nobody else. I don't know your story. I just didn't get up here and start preaching. It don't work that way. God is going to reveal to you and walk you along if you let him. You got to let him in. You got to be obedient. You got to read his word. You got to study his word. You got to know his word. Not verbatim. It's good to memorize stuff. But you got to know where to find it to start off with. You know what they say? If everybody in America knocked the dust off their Bible, be the biggest dust storm in America. Open your Bible up, get in there. And there's really no excuse either now, because we got Bible apps on our phone. You got it with you all the time. It's a free download if you don't have it already. Study his word. Or be obedient to God's word. Let me tell you a different angle from being obedient. Obedient to God's word includes adhering to God's commands and living in accordance with his teaching. You notice that word living? You're not dead, we're alive. You know, pinch yourself, make sure you're okay. As long as you got a breath in you and you're living, you need to live by God's word. You need to do what he tells you to do and do them. You got to be obedient. Worship and reverence, recognizing God as the one true God, and offering him worship and reverence. Then we got to be stewardship, have good stewardship, being a good steward of all that God has given, including, I'm not talented. I don't have no talents. Like you think of, I can't juggle, I can't whatever. But your time and your talents and your resources. How much time are you giving to God? When you need Him? Let me tell you a secret. You need Him all the time. All the time. But not just when you're in trouble. Or not when things are going south on you. You got to stay connected. And I call it the Clint Eastwood theory. During the good, the bad, and the ugly. Because you're going to have all those in your life. Good, bad, and ugly. But where's God at? Well, I'll tell you where He's at. He's there. Well, where are you at with God? Obligation to others. You got obligation to God. You got obligation to others. Love your neighbor. Matthew 22:39, just down from what we just read. You know, first of all, love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. And the second is like this, according to Jesus, love your neighbor as yourself. Love others as oneself. Showing compassion, kindness, and forgiveness. Now look, I'm going to tell them myself here. What that means is, and OC said this before too, when you're behind that person, you want to run off the road, you need to show a little compassion, whatever. We dealt with that yesterday. We went to New Caney yesterday. You ever been down there on 1485, the Huffman area? Last time I went through there, you could zip right on through there, a little FM road. Now they got 99 on the backside of it. And all the traffic, and stop signs every 10 foot. So don't go that way. Well, let me tell you this. If you want to test your religion, go that way. Your religion. But if you want to test your spirit, go. I'm telling you, just anyway. So how you carry yourself, how you act, how you do. People are watching everything you do, how you handle situations. What do you say when you hit your hammer with your finger with a hammer? I got tested. Well, so I got a bunch of stories about yesterday. That was one of them. I brush hogged at a deer lease yesterday, and I was thinking about the sermon, actually. And I wasn't paying attention, and a limb slapped me across the face. I wanted to say something. Yeah, I woke up. Then I had to drink some water because I was mad. But anyway. Compassion, kindness, and forgiveness to others. I know this happened to nobody in here. You ever been ran over by somebody? Done wrong? Let me tell you what to do. Forgive them. As long as you hold that, it affects you, not them. I didn't say none of this is easy. Ain't nobody said it was easy to do. But Jesus walked this earth and showed us exactly how to live our life. What He done. Show compassion, love for others. You don't have to necessarily like them or hang out with them. But when they're down, we need to help them. We need to serve others. We need to utilize our gifts and talents again to serve others, meeting their needs and offering support. Kind of talk about that. Now I want to say this word here. I know right off the bat your mind's gonna go somewhere. Evangelize. I'm telling you, just okay. Evangelize and make disciples. Share the gospel. And so we want to run away from that word evangelize, right? We think of a traveling preacher that's doing revivals and all that kind of stuff. And so that's part of it. That can be evangelist. But to go back to what we talked about earlier, picking that phone up, calling a friend, you just evangelized. So hey, guess what? Y'all evangelists. If you serve God, you're a Christian, you're an evangelist. And you need to be spreading His word. Anything you do to share the word, invite somebody to church, bring a friend, write a friend, call a friend. Does anybody write letters anymore? I don't know if anybody writes letters. Anyway, my mind goes off. Pray for others, lift them up in prayer. Our obligation, now look, this is back on you now. So we got an obligation to God, we got an obligation to others. What about yourself? obligation related to the Christian life. Okay, and now I'm a Christian. I call myself a Christian. Let's do a little test then. Let's see what we are here. Are you holiness and purity, striving for a life of holiness and purity, free from sin and worldly influences? I know what you're fixing to say. Free from sin? That means I never mess up again? Let me tell you how you do that. It's through Jesus. You, remember, that you and I, that gets you in trouble. You can't do it. You got to stay in line with God. Let Him help you through those things. Are you living a life of purity, of influence? When people look at you, what's their first reaction? Now, look, there's always going to be some naysayers out there and stuff. You know, I tell you what you do. You don't worry about what everybody else thinks or anybody else thinks. You worry about what God, or what you're doing for God, what your relationship with Him. What's He going to say? Because one day, you know, I like to just keep it simple. You know, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You're going to one of them. Now, the choice you make determines which one. Okay? You're going to one of them. So when you do face-to-face with God, when that time comes, is He going to let you in, or He can tell you, get out of here? I can't quote the scripture, but it's in there where it says, well, I did this for you. I did that. I did this. Did you have that personal relationship with Him? You had that closeness with Him. That's what you're looking for. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another. Diligence and hard work with a God-honoring attitude. Living a life of faith, living by faith, trusting in God's provision and guidance. So that's my love. You know what that word segue means? That means going into something else. I told you we can talk about obligation and we can talk about faith. So there's your segue going into obligation. So the next hour or so, we're going to talk about faith. Y'all can laugh. It's okay. I got a feeling if it was an hour or so, I'd be preaching to myself. I'd probably be hitting that back door. A Christian does them work. Okay, we can talk about remembering James. Let me reiterate for a minute. You know, he said, Father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac. You see that his faith and his action. We just talked about obedience, obligation, what we need to do. Okay, now we need to join it with faith. I like this statement I picked up wherever, I don't remember where. You're saved to do good works. Good works doesn't save you. Okay? You can be a good person all your life, but if you don't have that relationship with Jesus Christ, it's going to do you no good. So you got to put the two together. A Christian does works not to earn. I can't say that right. E-A-R-N, and I can try to say it again, I'll butcher it, but to fulfill the goal of salvation, being a steward of God on earth, using His gifts and resources to accomplish His will. If you're saved, you're doing God's work, and so you're going to want to do God's work in some form or fashion, some way. And stuff, because you want to be obedient. If you're truly a Christian, you want to be obedient. Just like when you raised as a kid. You want to be obedient. When you wouldn't, you got to remember why you want to be obedient or reminded. So Abraham's justification by his works, the action, Abraham's act of offering his son on the altar is presented as a work that demonstrated his faith. He didn't understand it. It was something that he didn't want to do. But he did what his father told him to do. And then, you know, if you remember the story, God intervened. He was that test of faith. The action showed that Abraham's faith was active and made it complete or perfect or perfected. James 2:22. How am I going to know, how people are going to know you're a Christian if you don't do nothing? Don't be ashamed of it either. Don't be ashamed to be a Christian. It's okay. Because you know what's on the other end when you get there, whenever the time is, when you get called home. The situation fulfilled the scripture that said Abraham believed God and was credited to him for righteousness, leading to him being called the friend of God. He was considered a friend of God because of how his obedience. So let me give you a little insight on something. When you go all in, like we talked about earlier, you won't be a Christian. You're going to, you know, prepare yourself to obey God for what he tells you to do. I guarantee you, at some point, he's going to give you something that's kind of like Abraham here that you don't want to do necessarily, or it makes you uncomfortable to do. How are you going to react? Are you going to do it? Or are you going to run from it? And that's a whole different sermon there. Don't run from it. But you got to get ready, though. You got to stay. I had a, when I was, all y'all know, I worked for DPS. We was in the academy. Our PT instructor, he's for exercise purposes, works here for this, too, though. Stay ready, and you ain't got to get ready. Stay ready for what God has prepared for you coming down the line. And how you do that? By staying in his word. You're not going to know nothing unless you know something. Don't catch that. Now, isn't it interesting how James went from Abraham, you know, we call him, you know, the old song with his kids, we all, Father Abraham, and then he went to a prostitute, Rahab. You know what that tells me? He will use anybody that's willing to submit to him. Anybody. I don't care how good you think you are, or how bad you think you are, or anywhere in the middle. It don't matter. If you submit to God, you all in, he will use you. He will. He'll use you. And we got on a sign out there. He don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He give you what to do. You could ask my buddies in the back there that I went to high school with that grew up with me. And said, if y'all never thought you'd see me up here, would you? And that's honest. I mean, you wouldn't. Yeah. And so they probably thought I'd be dead by now. God is good. And he will use you, but you got to give it into him. You got to give it, you know. So Rahab, the prostitute, Rahab was justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by a different route. If you, I don't have the scripture. Go back and read the story. And so she put her whole life on the line for what she did. She was willing because she knew there was something different about these people. That their Lord and Savior, that's what she wanted. If you ain't got there yet, what are you waiting on? When do you want that Lord and Savior? He's there. He's just waiting on you. He's not going to force you to. We talked about that before, too. You know, what kind of friendship you have if you got to force somebody to be your friend? What kind of relationship with God you have if he made you worship him? He's not. But I tell you one thing, I don't care where you at, where you been, he's right there. He's never changed. And he's waiting on you to just come to him. Rahab is an example, like Abraham, of how faith in God leads to actions that demonstrate righteousness. And so she knew there was something a little different there. And she wanted what they had. And she knew she had to do something, even if it meant her life. If she got caught, they would have killed her on the spot. Her culture she lived in. Now we're going to get down to the nuts and bolts real quick. I know y'all getting hungry and squirmy. Faith without works, dead. Faith, let that sink in. Faith without work is dead. Just as the body without spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead. James 2:26. Let me just hit real quick. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about if you don't receive Christ, lack of better words, you're a walking dead man. I don't know how else to put it. Because you're destined for eternal death. And you know what I said the other day? You absolutely have to do nothing to go to hell. You don't. Just don't make, if you don't make the choice of following Jesus, then you're destined for hell. And you're a walking dead man. Without the Spirit, you're dead. So faith without works is dead. You got the Spirit. You got the faith. You believe in God. You got a relationship with God. Do something. Do something with it. Don't just sit here and go home and then the rest of the week you think you're okay. Do something with it. And like I said, you know, we already explained how it could be just simple things. So let me tell you what faith looks like and I'll get y'all out of here. Key characteristics of true faith. Number one is action and obedience. To get a reaction, you got to have a, to have a reaction, you got to have an action. You got to do something, okay? And you got to obey. Remember that song? I love that song, Trust and Obey. Trust in the Lord Jesus, and then you obey. And his, if you obey his obedience, he's telling you to do something. Read Matthew 28. At the end of it, he tells us what to do. Spread his word, spread his gospel. However you can do that, wherever you at, it don't matter. You don't have to do it in a church setting. Church setting. Don't let church get you, religion get you in trouble. Church is us. Okay? And the church goes out there, outside these walls, what that means. Okay? We need to go out there and do something. Trust. You got to have trust and confidence. Be confident in it. You're not going to know the Bible verbatim. Or you might. I don't know. You are pretty good. But know it. So when somebody comes, you know, you witness somebody, but where do you know that, where is that at? I don't know, but I can find out. It's in there. I know that. I have the confidence in it that it's in there. Amen. Call a friend. Do something. You can figure it out. Remember the love and compassion. It is expressed through a genuine love for others and commitment to living by principles. So action, obedience, trust and confidence, love and compassion, growth and perseverance. How are you going to handle situations? You're going to persevere, get through it with God, with Him at your side. It ain't if, it's when that you're going to have a situation to deal with. I say I already messed up. I said, you got to deal with you and God. Give it to God. Amen. If you deal with it, it's going to compound probably and get worse. Amen. But if you do it with God, He'll get you through it. Personal and relational. Don't be like Satan. He knows God. But have that personal relationship with Him, that relation. Be close with Him. Talk to Him. No, don't be, you know, you don't have to just on prayer, you know, have a set, you know, I mean, have a conversation. You can have a conversation with God. That's prayer too. You know that, right? You don't have to say, Lord, lay me down to sleep, you know, all that stuff. have a conversation with him. Ask him questions in a loving way. Don't insult him. Why, Lord? Why? Why is this? Will you please show me why this has happened? And he may or may not. That's his. That's it. It's up to him. But have that relationship with him. You got to sacrifice and be willing to risk. What's that mean? It's going to cost you something to follow Christ. Your time, your effort, maybe some of your money, I don't know. It's a sacrifice. You may lose some friends over it that refuse to follow Christ. They don't want to be around you. That may happen. I've seen that happen before. Or you're not as close as you used to be. You may not lose them. They're still acquaintance, but they don't want to be around. That's why it's so important when you witness to people, do it in a loving way and don't smash them over the head with a Bible. Say, get Jesus or you're going to hell. This is true. But find a kinder way to put it to them so you won't run them off. If they don't listen, you then tell them. But you need to get the word out there. Then we got forgiveness. Amen. These are often marked of authentic faith, as individuals are humbled and are willing to forgive others. It's easy for us to go to God and say, God, forgive me, I've done whatever. What about for you forgiving others? Yeah, it works both ways. It works both ways. You got to forgive those people, even the ones you don't like or care for. True faith looks like an active and lived expression of trust in God, characterized by actions like love, compassion, obedience, and perseverance through hardships, rather than a mere intellectual agreement to believers. And that confidence I talked about. Do you want that confidence? You want this relationship? Now's the time to do it. Today's the day of salvation. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You don't know what the next 10 minutes holds. You don't know what's going to happen. Remember, stay ready. You ain't got to get ready. So if you need to get ready, when the musicians come forward and play the song of invitation, that'll be your opportunity. If you need to come down to the front and pray, if you need to come down here and talk to me, I can't save you. Let me throw that out there. I can guide you in a direction you may need to go. If the Holy Spirit's working on you, come talk to me. We'll get through it. Or do it where you're at. Remember, God can work anywhere. Anywhere. So I get y'all to stand. Dear Father, thank you again for these moments together in your word. Just open our minds, our hearts, and our souls. Be with us that we do go all in, Lord, and that we have the confidence that you can only provide. Just thank you again. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.